Good day and welcome to the National Quarterly All-Employment Network Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Carol Cohen. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much and welcome, everyone. We're delighted to have you join us today. I will be very brief. I have the opportunity today to welcome you on behalf of Gary Rao. Gary is out of the office on site reviews. So he's traveling far and near this week and next week, in fact. So it's my honor to be able to welcome you today and just to reiterate again how much we appreciate and value your service to our beneficiaries and your support of the Employment Network Program. Speaking of site reviews, many of you have had the privilege, if I can call it that, of receiving some Social Security guests this year. And typically we engage in a series of site reviews during the summer months, and that's what we're doing right now. Each year we select different sites to review, and we send a team. And hopefully you've enjoyed these visits, where it's not only an opportunity for Social Security to get a sense of what you're doing, but also for you to ask questions, to clarify maybe some issues or concerns you may have, and to actually meet the people that you speak to on the phone. So it's really a great opportunity for us. We look forward to it every year. And budget permitting, we do as many as we can. So given the budget for travel that we were allotted, we are squeezing in as many visits as we possibly can. And as I said, hopefully you're enjoying these opportunities. Reports are forthcoming. You all will receive reports. Be advised that some of the reviewers are busy with more than just one review, so sometimes you won't receive your report for a few weeks. So be patient, but you will receive your reports. And, of course, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact your EN specialist, or you're always welcome to call me if you like. With that, let me just add that many of you know and have appreciated the support and enthusiasm of Rob Fass. And Rob has moved on for a period of time. He is on a detail in Washington, D.C. He's actually working on the Hill. And he is staffing. He's doing some staffing work. So this is a great opportunity for Rob. We do hope he will return to us after the first of the year, somewhere early 2018. So I just want to let you know, if you haven't seen or heard Rob around in a while, that's why. And Gary is, believe it or not, as busy as he is taking on that role, as well as office director, and us managers are supporting Gary to the best of our ability. And everybody's very busy. Everybody's taking on additional work, but that's the way it goes. I'm sure you're all familiar with that, those kinds of obligations. So with that, Melanie, unless there's something else you want me to address, I will turn it over to Renee Clark.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Renee Clark. As you all know, the TPA is due back to SSA on September 1st. Please email the information sheet and signature page to enservice@ssa.gov. If you have questions, we have a number of resources available on the Your Ticket to Work site. We have frequently asked questions, we have some review presentations, and we have notes from the previous from previous EN calls. If you have additional questions about the TPA, please email tpahelp@ssa. Thank you. Melanie?
Thanks, Renee. This is Melanie Porter. Good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to give you all a quick update. I know during our last All-EN call, we had mentioned that we were in the process of working with our field offices to get out more information about the Ticket to Work program. So we are happy to report that these training packages did go out on August 3rd, and they were disseminated to all of the field offices across the country so that we could give them additional background information on Ticket to Work, as well as some tools and resources that they can use. A big part of why we wanted to do this was because we continue to hear from our beneficiaries that they went to a field office and were either given incorrect information, or we've heard that the field offices had never heard of Ticket to Work, or they weren't sure where to send the beneficiaries. And so we thought it would be a good starting point to make sure that if it was a training deficit or they just didn't have the tools and resources readily available, then let's help get those into the hands of our field office colleagues. So in these packages, it included background information about the Ticket to Work program. So it gave some talking points that they could share with beneficiaries in terms of what it is and what it is not. It also included a link to the Meet Ben video, which is now a video in our SSA library that can be accessed on our intranet. Many of you may recall this was developed a couple of years ago, and it was intended for beneficiaries. Ben is an animated character that is a ticket holder, and so the video is about 4 minutes long, and it shows his journey of receiving a ticket and then how he would use that ticket with a service provider to go back to work. So when we developed that, we also created a 30-second closed caption version that currently loops in the reception areas of the field offices. And so we thought, what a better way to, you know, make field office staff aware that this is looping in their area for a lot of those who don't make it out into their lobbies. Or if they get questions from beneficiaries, they'll have a good reference point. So we encouraged everybody to watch those just to familiarize themselves with the program. Also, the information included a desk aid, which included quick links as a one-pager reference guide they can have on their desk. It has references to both of the websites, the Choose Work website as well as your Ticket to Work. Also had a link for a decision tree just to get some quick answers on Ticket to Work and some other general information in terms of the phone number for the helpline and resources that they can access. Finally, we updated, if you recall, a few years ago, we developed a fact sheet that is available in the field office, and this is for all applicants, not just those who are eligible for the Ticket to Work program. But it talks about Ticket to Work. It also talks about services from the state VR agencies for those who may not be eligible, and talks about work incentives and where they can go for more information. So we're trying to get the word out there as early as possible. We recently updated this. It's called Incentives to Help You Return to Work. We have these printouts available at our warehouse so that field offices can order these and hand them out as people come in. And then finally, the last thing that we did as part of this training package, we sent a Ticket to Work poster to every field office to display proudly in their lobby areas so that when people go in, they'll see Ticket to Work, they'll be able to ask questions about it. It has references on there. This is the same poster that a lot of you have received when we do the All Call for Materials. And so they are now, hopefully, in as many field offices as possible since we encourage them to hang them. That is the update on the training package, and now I'm going to turn it over to Felix to talk about some recent website enhancements.
Thank you very much, Melanie. Hi, everyone. This is Felix Stump with the Ticket Program Manager. As Melanie said, I want to go over kind of three different changes that we've made recently to the service provider and to the beneficiary websites. The first change I want to mention is that the URLs themselves, the website addresses, have changed. And you may have noticed that beginning a couple weeks ago, we moved the choosework.com site to choosework.ssa.gov or .gov. And the provider website, which had been yourtickettowork.com, is now yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. That was part of a ruling that came down kind of from the federal government folks on high that program websites that are run by the federal government ought to have a .gov URL. What this means for you isn't too much because the old website addresses, if you have bookmarks set up or if you're just in the habit of typing in yourtickettowork.com, you will automatically and probably almost seamlessly be redirected to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And so if there are any of you that have your website set up and you have a link to the program page, or if you're linking to one of the other websites, those links will still work. The users will still be taken to the new site at choosework or yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Also, I want to point out that both of those websites have associated with them an email address or a set of email addresses that you can use. For example, on the beneficiary site, there's an email address, support@choosework.com or choosework.net. That email address will still work. If you send it to the old address, it will still come to us just fine. Or you could use the new address, which we support@choosework.ssa.gov. So it shouldn't have caused any blockages to you or your clients finding the information you're looking for, but we wanted to make sure you were aware in case you noticed that the URL was different and wondered why. The second batch of enhancements I want to talk with you about, actually we made a couple releases ago back in mid to late June. These are to the Find Help directory. The last time we spoke, I think we had just implemented some round one of changes. A lot of you had some feedback about that, and we subsequently made another round of changes to the Find Help directory on the Choose Work website, and we think they're all good. And I wanted to kind of go through some of them that are the most maybe the most important. One is that for a while there, the guided search function was not working. It was down. That search now works again. So if you have clients or if you are directing anybody to that website, your beneficiaries can now go in and use the question tool where it asks them very specific questions about what they're looking for, and that tool now functions. When a user is doing a direct search, which is where they're just entering in their zip code, the zip code is now required for all searches. That means that we are able to make sure that whatever parameters they're using to search, the results they receive include only those ENs or VRs or other service providers, only those service providers that have included that zip code in their service area, which means there have been some instances where you could search on, say, a 60-mile radius, and you might find an EN that's within 60 miles of your house, but sometimes that service provider won't have elected to serve your area. You might have been getting calls from people who found you on their search results, but you don't serve an area that far away, and so you just had to redirect them back to the site to begin with. That should no longer be an issue, or at least it should be an issue a lot less frequently, because the search results a user will see will be only those results that where the service provider has elected to serve that zip code. A few other changes are that we, using that zip code, you can search on a mileage kind of radius around your house or around wherever you live. We increased it from 60 to 100 miles. That was, I think, particularly it could be an issue in rural areas where the search radius needed to get a little farther away in order to find service providers that one was looking for. And then finally, the default sort order for when a user runs a search for a service provider, it now the default order is by zip code, it's by proximity to their zip code. So we're requiring a zip code for every type of provider search. The list that I get, no matter what parameters I've selected to choose, the automatic order of the EN or service provider is going to appear with the closest organizations first. You can, as a user, still, though, sort by state if you would rather do it that way, but I think this is the most fair, and it hopefully will get at some people's questions where there were examples where they were right down the street, but they were appearing, you know, on page 3 or 4 of the search terms, and that wasn't the desired outcome. And so now the default search order is by distance from the zip code entered. So those are most of the changes that made it to the Find Help directory. And then finally, another recent change was that the scores from the beneficiary satisfaction survey, the satisfaction scores, have been added to the EN report cards for the most recent survey completed. We've had a lot of questions about that last time we discussed the status of the survey. Those scores are now available. So if you search for your EN on this the Find Help tool, and if you click EN profile on the bottom of that of your EN section of the page there, it'll open up where you can see the first thing you see is the overall satisfaction rating. And then when you click show data points, it breaks down that satisfaction into many different areas, such as satisfaction with how the EN supported me, satisfaction with how respected they felt, and so on. So each of the types of questions that were asked in the survey, the EN has been given a score for those questions and an overall score. Just as a note, I did want to remind you that if you go and take a look and you do not see a score for your EN, that may be because we did not receive a sufficient number of beneficiary responses who were assigned to your service provider. Just as a reminder, we only publicly list the scores for ENs that had a sufficient number of beneficiaries assigned to them that chose to respond to the survey, such that we're able to maintain those beneficiaries' privacy. We will have a summary of the overall findings, kind of what we learned from the survey, what is trending from last year, the year before. A summary of those findings will be presented to you all at a special session sometime in the next few weeks. So stay tuned. That hasn't been scheduled yet, but we hope to have that on the calendar shortly to occur sometime over the next few weeks so that we can kind of let you know some of what we found or learned from the beneficiary satisfaction survey that was completed towards the middle to last section of 2016. And with that, that wraps up my portion, so I want to turn it over to our first pair of guest speakers. We have Debbie Engler and John Jones, who are each contracting officer representatives with the Social Security Administration, and they oversee the Promoting Opportunity Demonstration Project, or POD, sometimes shortened as POD. They are each on the team that does evaluation and implementation of contracts for that Promoting Opportunity Demonstration. So, Debbie and John, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Felix. Hi, I'm Debbie Engler, and as Felix mentioned, we have a couple of my colleagues on the line as well. John Jones is going to talk to you in a couple of minutes about our upcoming recruitment plan, where our pod sites will be located, and really how this project may directly impact you and the beneficiaries that you work with. We work alongside with Melanie and Carol and team, so we thank them for having us on the call. And I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to do a quick overview of, yes, what we do call the Promoting Opportunity Demonstration Pod. So I'll just do a quick overview and then send it over to John, and then we'll be available for questions right after. So we were directed to conduct POD in the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015, and that legislation included multiple really specific stipulations that really shaped the design of this project. And you'll see I'm looking at slide 5. If anyone's looking at the slides, I'm looking at slide 5, and I may deviate a little bit from the slide structure. So some of the specific guidelines were that this is a benefit offset test, a $1 for $2 benefit offset test. The threshold must be lower for that offset must be lower than the substantial gainful activity amount. And the trial work period and extended period of eligibility will not apply for participants in the project, and Medicare eligibility can continue after termination. So for this project, we will have an experimental design, and this is where we will recruit Social Security Disability Insurance beneficiaries, our SSDI beneficiaries. And for POD, it will only be the insured workers that we will be recruiting who are at least 20 years old and also under 62 years old throughout the project. And this will be a five-year project that runs through 2021. So we will randomly assign 15,000 volunteers into three different groups. One of those groups is our control group, and this group continues under current rules. There are no changes for these beneficiaries. And these are three approximately equal groups of about 5,000 beneficiaries. And then we'll have two treatment groups. And both groups will receive the benefit offset. And this is something that, since there is no trial work period or extended period of eligibility, that they will be able to, if their earnings are high enough, access right away. So the difference between the two groups is that one group will face potential termination of entitlement because of work, and one group will not, based on the offset. So our first group can go into the offset, including full offset, where earnings are high enough that benefits are reduced to zero throughout the project, and they will not face termination of entitlement because of their earnings. And then the second group, they are in full offset, so benefits are reduced to zero under the offset for 12 consecutive months, entitlement will be terminated. So it's important to note that under these alternate POD rules, this project may not be advantageous for every beneficiary out there. So from a beneficiary perspective, they will first be contacted by our evaluation contractor, Mathematica Policy Research, and if the beneficiary volunteers and is randomly assigned into one of the treatment groups, they will then work with our implementation contractor, Apt Associates. And participants will report their earnings on a monthly basis to Apt, who will then in turn transmit it to Social Security for us to process that offset into the monthly benefits. For the threshold, so benefits are offset $1 for every $2 earned above the POD threshold, which is the greater of either the total itemized impairment related work expenses up to the SGA amount or the current trial work period level. So participants in the treatment groups will also be able to access a POD-specific benefits counseling that is similar to the counseling that is offered under the WIPA program, but it will be specific to POD and those alternate roles that the beneficiaries will be facing. So as I said, this is a five-year project. So for beneficiaries, we're hoping to start recruitment in the fall of this year. We're targeting actually this November of 2017 to start recruiting. And for beneficiaries, the project will end by the middle of 2021, June of 2021. And so throughout this time, our evaluation contractor, Mathematica Policy Research, will also be analyzing and collecting data on the program and from beneficiaries in order to find out if the project has any impacts on things like employment or earnings or benefits. And so the legislation has that this project is to be wrapped up in 5 years, so we will plan to have the final report out by the end of 2021 as well. And so I am going to turn it over to John, and he's going to talk about our get into the specifics of our recruitment plan.
Thank you, Debbie. As Debbie said, my name is John Jones. I'm the contracting technical representative for the POD evaluation. Now, in POD, as Debbie has mentioned, we're testing an innovation that is particular to certain beneficiaries. Not all beneficiaries will see it advantageously. So what we are trying to do is recruit beneficiaries who would be work-oriented and interested in MPOD. And to do that, we are taking a two-pronged approach to recruitment. We have a direct recruitment and an indirect recruitment. Really quickly, the direct recruitment is our contractor, Mathematica, will contact beneficiaries directly and send those beneficiaries a packet of information that contains detailed information about the innovation and the demonstration that they're in. But more importantly, it has two documents that are very important. One is an informed consent form. The beneficiary, if they want to apply to participate in POD, they must sign that informed consent and send it back to Mathematica, in addition to a survey. That survey is really a short questionnaire. They need to fill out that and send that back to Mathematica along with the informed consent. And once they do that, Mathematica will take those as applications and see if the beneficiary is eligible to actually be participants in POD. So the indirect outreach is what I'm here to talk to you about today. So I'm on slide 9. And the reason why we are trying to reach out to stakeholders through this indirect outreach method is that we're going to try to solicit your help in recruiting beneficiaries for POD. Now, the reason why we're doing this is because beneficiaries may not trust that this is a legitimate project. If they receive an envelope from Mathematica Policy Research, they may disregard it. But we're hoping that you, being ENs, would be trusted sources of information and referrals so that if you know of a beneficiary who's maybe interested in POD, then you could direct them to the POD website, which we are developing as we speak, or you could direct them to the toll-free number, which we'll provide that later as soon as that's established. And also you can request the packet of information that I discussed earlier that's being used for the direct outreach. Even through the indirect outreach, those beneficiaries will have to sign an informed consent and a baseline survey. So your participation is just to inform the beneficiary of the ways that they can contact Mathematica through the website or the toll-free number, or you could potentially request a packet for your own. More importantly, though, coming up, we will have webinars that will educate you in more detail about POD and how you can participate in it in our recruitment activity. The dates are not quite set yet. There's going to be three, one in the fall of 2017, and that is being narrowed down to somewhere in the mid-November. November is when we're actually going to start recruitment. So mid-November is when they're targeting the first webinar. Then we have two other webinars in 2018, one that will be in the winter and another one in the spring, the dates of which are not yet established. But it's important that if you're interested in participating in POD, and if you know beneficiaries that may be eligible and interested, then please attend that webinar. We will we will provide the website and the contact information later on it. Now, you may be asking yourself, what beneficiaries are eligible? What's the eligibility criteria? So in beneficiaries are eligible for POD if they are a primary worker on our records. That is, they hold an account that they draw benefits from the Social Security Disability Insurance Program. They are allowed to have auxiliaries on their records so they can have children and others who are drawing benefits from their account. But the person who participates in POD cannot themselves have multiple entitlements. For example, they cannot be a child who's drawing benefits off of the disability insurance program themselves on their own record and also be drawing benefits from their parents' record. So those individuals would not be allowed in the POD. There also, if a beneficiary is in suspense as well as maybe deferred status, they are still eligible so long as they're not terminated. They cannot be participating in a SSA demonstration or participated in any demonstration in the past that SSA has been conducting. And also, if they move into a foreign country and live in a foreign country, they're going to be excluded from the demonstration. All right, so now if you are also interested, I'm moving to slide 10 now. And this is the other area of eligibility for beneficiaries, and that is the recruitment area. Beneficiaries must live in one of these eight states and particular areas of the state. So in POD, we have eight sites, the eight states. Those states are Alabama, California, Connecticut, Maryland, Michigan, Nebraska, Texas, and Vermont. Now, not all of those states, all the area of the state will be part of POD. Alabama, Connecticut, and Vermont are the only sites in the demonstration that includes the entire state. California, Maryland, Michigan, and Nebraska, and Texas only include portions of the state and particular counties of that state that will be a part of POD. So I think we can open it up for questions if that's all right with Felix or the moderator.
Hi, John. This is Adele. Yes, Kevin, if you could please open up the line for a few questions, that would be great.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press *1 if you'd like to ask a question at this time. All right, we'll take our first question. A voice prompt will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question.
Andrea Satira, Trans-Am Employment Network. My question is about the TPA. I'm adding a number of people.
This is Adele. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Did you say your question is in reference to the TPA?
Yes.
Okay. If you could, we're going to open the lines up later for that. Right now, strictly just for the POD presentation, if you would be so kind.
Okay, so I have a quick question about that. How do we find out what counties within the state are participating?
Okay, good. There we go.
All right. Well, within California, it's going to be Los Angeles, Orange County, and San Diego counties. In Maryland, it's going to be Anne Arundel, Baltimore, Baltimore City, Hartford, Howard, Montgomery, and Prince George's counties.
Okay, good.
Does that answer your question? Did I cover the state that you were interested in?
Those were the two states. That's great. Montgomery County is super.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for your question. We look forward to hearing you later on in the presentation.
And we'll take our next question.
Hi, this is John DuPlessis with Self DuPlessis Secure Employment. I am in Birmingham, Alabama, and I heard that Alabama will be one of the major states that will be going through the, demonstration. With that being the case, would we be, any employment networks be intricately involved with the, demonstration of this pilot program that they're trying to, test right now?
Well, you can be involved by through the indirect outreach. Debbie Engler can tell you whether you're involved as part of the implementation contract.
Okay.
Yeah, so what will happen in the particular pod site is our implementation contract or apt associates will be working with some of the local providers, and that's really how we'll structure our earnings reporting and our benefits counseling. And I think in the state of Alabama, and again, these are not all finalized yet, but in the state of Alabama, APT Associates is primarily working with the state vocational rehabilitation agency, and that will be their avenue to set up the structure for the counseling and direct services with our beneficiaries. So really what's important for a lot of you on the phone that are in these pod sites is, you know, what we want to do today is just kind of give you a high-level overview of the project that is to come. And as we get a little bit closer and as we have some more things finalized with our recruitment and outreach plan, we'll be reaching out to all of the providers in those areas to invite you to attend one of the webinars that John mentioned. And during those webinars, we'll be really getting into a little more detail about the project and about the plans and timing for the recruitment and exactly when that will be starting. And so what we really hope is a couple of things for all of you is that, I think, and John mentioned this, you know, one of our biggest hurdles is beneficiaries, you know, receiving a letter from a company like Mathematica Policy Research, who has been involved in quite a few of our research projects and, but, you know, are not familiar to the beneficiary. And it says, you know, we've got this project and we're working with SSA and we really want you to join. And the beneficiary is sort of questioning, you know, is this real? Are they really hooked up with Social Security? And, you know, we hope that you guys are there to, you know, if someone says to you what's going on with this POD project, that you can, in fact, verify that it is a real project, it is a research project that Social Security is doing, it is legitimate, and, you know, kind of talk the person through, you know, so through these webinars, we will have, you know, we will be providing you the specific POD website that will have, you know, information that you can look up or the beneficiary can look up. There will be a phone call, a call center, where the beneficiary or anyone can get information, and there will be the materials that will be going out to beneficiaries, and that will be available, you know, if you guys want to have some with you or need them with you. So if you have beneficiaries coming in, like John said, that you think, you know, might be a good fit, that this is something that you can refer them to. That was a long-winded answer. I hope that was helpful.
Okay, yes, that was quite a bit there. But one quick question is going to have is that now would we would be the ones that actually would be referring the consumer to vocational rehab, if that is correct. And also, I overheard something about this pilot program would end in 5 years. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm going to need you to repeat the first part of the question. But yes, this is a research project that will end. It's just temporary, so it will end for participants who have volunteered for it and are still involved. It will end in 2021. And I think I missed part of your first question.
Yeah, my first question was, will we be directly working with vocational rehab since they will be the actual, leader in the pod program? So will we be dealing with vocational rehab, or we will be dealing with the Ticket to Work program, Maximus? Which one? Social Security, I'm saying. I'm sorry.
Well, for POD, what will happen is the main implementation contractor will be Apt Associates. And so in each site, it will actually look a little bit different. In some sites, they are partnering for this specific, contractual relationship that we have for POD. In some sites, they're working directly with a state vocational rehabilitation agency. And in other states, it has ended up that we're working directly with a work incentive planning and assistance provider. So it does look a little bit different in each state. So really, as we finalize all of those subcontracting, relationships, we'll be able to add a little bit more information onto that.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much, John, and thank you for presenting, Debbie. And, John, I see there's quite a bit of interest, and we have quite a few questions in the chat. We cannot accept any other questions on the line at the moment, but what we'll do is we'll gather these questions from the chat, and we'll have them answered for you and follow up. And if you have any additional questions, you can always send those to enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And, Felix, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks very much, Adele. And I have the good fortune to introduce our next couple of guest presenters who will be describing the Partnership Plus model and the Virginia service delivery. David Leon is the Ticket to Work Coordinator in Grants and Special Programs with the Virginia Department for Aging and Rehabilitative Services. And he has with him Missy Crawford-Smith, who is an Enhanced Work Incentives Counselor with ServiceSource, which is a nonprofit organization serving individuals with disabilities. And they have regional offices in Virginia, Delaware, Florida, and North Carolina. David and Missy, take it away.
Great. Thank you very much, Felix. If we could go on to the first slide or next slide. I wanted to start by talking a little bit about what DARS is. We are the State Vocational Rehab Program, and our goal is to assist individuals that apply for services with disabilities to prepare for, enter, and maintain employment. Our focus is on employment. Participation is voluntary. We are a state that operates under order of selection and at times has categories closed. And that's an important distinction because it is part of the reason we have worked so hard to develop a strong and very comprehensive Partnership Plus network of groups around the state to provide services through the Ticket to Work program. We provide a variety of services. We focus on transition age youth and now with WIOA, pre-ETS, which is pre-employment transition services. Roughly half of the clients in Virginia are considered transition cases. And in terms of ticket and Social Security, when I checked a couple weeks ago, roughly 33% of our clients we are currently serving have SSA benefits. And if we could go on to the next slide. Our voc rehab counselors generally have master's degrees in rehabilitative counseling. They're an expert in disability and career counseling. The first thing that happens is they determine eligibility for our services. That includes both the ability to benefit from services and financial participation if that's part of that person's case. the counselor identifies barriers to competitive employment, develops an employment goal, and then creates the individualized plan for employment, which includes all of the steps needed for that employment goal. Within that employment plan are often other services. In Virginia, we do a lot around work incentives, and so those are sometimes mentioned. We assist people where we might pay a provider to offer supported employment and other services. And really, it's individually focused. We do have state-specific policies around certain things. We get clients that want to go to school, and while we can help, one of our policies is that we're kind of the payer of last resort, so we expect our clients to apply for Pell Grants and other things, and then we can help on top of that. Next slide, please. So our specific model includes Partnership Plus and a focus on administrative employment network model. And the reason for that is we are a pretty large geographic state. We're not in the California or Texas range, but our furthest east point is all the way at Virginia Beach and the Eastern Shore, and our furthest west point is as far west as Detroit in southwest Virginia, bordering Tennessee. So we have a large geographic state, and we have some great providers who have such small catchment areas that it wouldn't make sense financially for them to be an individual employment network. And so we've really grown our administrative employment networks so they can provide the services they currently utilize without adding administrative burdens. We have a fee-for-service model for our work incentive services, and we currently have 12 services. And we have helped train and coordinate to train work incentive specialist advocates. We moved on. Okay, our Partnership Plus agreement includes benchmark retention payments. We currently have 21 agreements with 12 administrative EN agreements. In federal fiscal year 2015, over $930,000 in ticket payments went to our partners. And when we looked at federal fiscal year 16, all of those groups that had been in Partnership Plus for two or more years increased by over 73%. Next slide. I think that might take us to Missy. Oh, here's that next slide. This slide just shows the growth. That red line was the national average of growth of Partnership Plus. The red line was the national growth in employment networks ticket to work. Those blue lines are Virginia's Partnership Plus employment networks growth over that same time period. As you can see, the groups in Virginia outperform the national average across the board. And we think that's partly due to the focus on providing work incentive services and some other things we've tried to add in the skill set of our providers around the state. Next slide. And we'll give it to Missy.
Hello. My name is Missy Crawford-Smith. I work at ServiceSource, and I've been involved with ServiceSource in the Ticket to Work program for the past 9 years. Next slide. Oh. There we go. Just a little bit about ServiceSource. We were founded in 1971. We have four regional offices, Virginia, Delaware, Florida, and North Carolina, and we have ticket programs in all four of those offices based out of the North Carolina and Northern Virginia office. I'll do the next slide. Nope, one more. Sorry, that was combined with my slides. Can I do another slide? So we offer a variety of employment services along the employment continuum. Most relevant for our Ticket to Work program is BR Individual Supported Employment, which is what we do our Partnership Plus program with, the benefits counseling. We have a drop-in career center, community employment, and Ability One contracts, and group-supported employment. Next slide. So just an overview of our Partnership Plus with the DARS Virginia VR. It started back in 2009. We currently have a few more than 21 assigned tickets through Partnership Plus. We've had a lot more over the years than that. And then we have about 15 identified that we are serving under DARS right now to be potential Partnership Plus handoffs. One of the things that David did mention, I just wanted to touch on again, is we do provide the work incentive services, and DARS has been instrumental in helping us get our job coaches certified through the Cornell WISA program. And do the next slide. So I just wanted to run through with you kind of an example of what it looks like to be part of the Partnership Plus program with Virginia DARS. So the first box is the job seeker applies for services with DARS, and then DARS will refer the individual, or the individual pick a vendor. In this case, I put down ServiceSource. ServiceSource will match the participant with a employment development specialist, and then the employment development specialist will reach out and complete paperwork, start services. The DARS counselor often is involved with the initial meetings and employment planning. The EDS works with the individual to explore careers and help attain and maintain employment. And then services are tailored to the individual's interests and preferences. Next slide. At some point during this process, it's typically a little bit more fluid than this, but we'll discuss the Partnership Plus handoff with DARS. I'll talk to David to discuss, you know, when they might close them and if it's going to be a good handoff. We'll create an IWP with the participant, and then also at that point, if they're getting an IWP, that's a good indication that they're going to need a work incentive counseling. So we'll go ahead and get the work incentive authorization and provide those services. Then we'll continue doing job placement and job coaching until the participant is stable, and then DARS closes the case and ServiceSource is able to assign the ticket. Because the IWP was already created, we can go ahead and assign the ticket the following day after case closure. Do the next slide. I'm sorry if this is a little bit repetitive, but I just wanted to go over a current case that actually is still open with DARS and been identified as being a Partnership Plus handoff. I made it meet Ben. This isn't really Ben, but just threw that out there. So I changed his name. But Ben applied for services with DARS. He picked ServiceSource to provide services. Starting in March 2017, he started receiving services through the Autism Employment Program at ServiceSource. In March, we did situational assessments for a customer service industry and food service. He identified an employment goal to work in one of those industries. Let's do the next slide. Job placement services were provided, and Ben was referred for the work incentive services. So we did do a work incentive services. We completed a benefit summary and analysis and a work world and discussed, you know, ticket and his benefits. Ben got a job in May, and job coaching has been provided since then. So he's still actually in the job coaching phase, but he has been identified as a handoff. And when job coaching finishes and job stability is met, DARS will close his case, and then we will assign him. Next slide. So the benefits of Partnership Plus, really, there's a benefit for the participants of the support. Partnership Plus allows us to provide seamless employment supports and work incentive supports for the individual. So there's not a gap in services. The communication, so Partnership Plus has allowed us to open up our communication with, you know, the DARS counselors, with David, who's the ticket coordinator, the job coaches, the WISA providers, which is our work incentive counselors. It's been pretty easy to work with all of them and for the program. We're easy to prepare the IWPs and not have a lag in getting those assigned and, you know, monitoring that. And then also the financial incentives, which David touched on a little bit, but DARS does have some benchmark payments they provide to the employment networks if the ticket holders get the certain successes. And that, I think, is all for me, but let's see what's on the next slide. Oh, there's our contact information. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions. I'm sure David would say the same.
Thank you so much, Missy, and thank you, David, for presenting. We'll go ahead and open up the line for a few questions based solely on the Partnership Plus presentation. Kevin, if you can help me out with that.
Once again, press star one if you'd like to ask a question. Again, star one if you're using a speakerphone. Please make sure your mute button is turned off. Once again, please press star one to ask a question. We'll take our next question. Please state your name before posing your question. If you heard the voice prompt, your line is open. We're unable to hear you. Please check your mute button.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Cheryl Gillespie from Gillespie Employment and Training Services. I wanted to know if this company is basically a CRP / EEN.
What's a CRP?
A community rehabilitation provider. So in other words, you're contracted with the state. Therefore, DARS can pays you, and then you're an EEN as well.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, star one to ask a question at this time. And there are no further questions.
Thank you again. We appreciate your time, David and Missy. And so what we'll do now is I'll go ahead and turn this over to Anna Morales.
Thank you, Adele. Good afternoon. We noticed that during the TPA national call that we have a couple of weeks ago, there were several questions about the training requirements that came along with the TPA. So we would like to clarify some of the information. The training is going to be effective September 1st after the TPA is in effect. And this training is mandatory for all the ENT point of contacts that are responsible for ticket holders, working with ticket holders, assigning tickets, submitting payments, and TPA inquiries in general. This training is mandatory for brand new ENs that come into the program, but also new employees that have the responsibilities to start operating under the Ticket to Work program for that specific employment network. New ENs must complete this training before being activated and provide services to beneficiaries. The training needs to be completed within 60 days after the EN is awarded or after Social Security has been notified of a key personnel change. We also added more information in your tickettowork.ssa.gov information center tab under training, and is Service Provider Foundation. So we put a brief information about what the Service Provider Foundation training is, their requirements. We added the different training phases and the 15 mandatory modules that each new EN or new staff needs to go through. And we also added a chart that is very specific of the different modules that each point of contact needs to take in order to graduate. If you have any questions, you can send them directly to enservice@ssa.gov, or if you are not a new EN or you don't have a new staff, you can still request training by sending an email to enservice, and the EN Development Department under TPM, we will be happy to provide it to you. I also would like to talk about a new development that we have implemented. We realized that we send key information in various ways through many separate email messages or these type of national calls or some phone outreach. And we have been seeking a way to consolidate updates to showcase various resources and share information in one communication. So for that reason, we developed the Ticket Connection. That is our e-newsletter. We expect to send that every quarter. The first edition was sent on July 29. If you did not receive it, please let us know. We hope that you find it helpful, and we welcome your feedback, of course. So please let us know if you did not receive it or if you would like to see some specific information showcased in the future. We have a brand new email address for that. It is ticketconnections@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And I'm going to pass it now to Jamie Pendergraft.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jamie Pendergraft. Thank you for posting the slide. We're going to talk a little bit today about some service provider resources. And we want to talk about the Service Provider Toolkit, which is the first link on this slide. It's available online at https://choosework.ssa.gov/provider-resources.html. And there's lots of great resources in there that ENs can use with the new TPA requirements for websites. We encourage you to visit the Service Provider resources. You can start using some of these materials to post on your website, and in the toolkit, there's some sample language about the Ticket to Work program. There are Ticket to Work logos and banners, and these are available in downloadable graphics files. The poster that was mentioned earlier is also available on there. In addition to the Meet Ben video that Melanie talked about a little while ago, you can download that and share that on your website as well. We'd encourage you to ask your webmaster to add some of these graphics, language, and content to your organization's website and link back to www.ssa.gov/work. In addition, to assist with some of your outreach activities and media promotion, we added two sample press releases that can be customized by newer or existing ENs to share with the media. One of them is for new ENs to announce their new ticket program services, and the second one is for existing ENs who might be expanding or would like to share a success story. We'd also encourage you to reach out to local, state, or national news media to promote your services, and that toolkit provides you with a lot of information on how you can use the materials available online to reach out to some of these groups and promote your EN services. Moving on, I did want to make an announcement about WISE webinars. We would encourage you to please spread the word about our upcoming webinars, and there is an issue on this slide. That email address should actually just be webinars@choosework.ssa.gov. Our next webinar is on August 23rd from 3 to 4:30. It will focus on work incentives for people who receive Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, and this is part one of a two-part series. Our September webinar will focus on work incentives for people who receive SSDI and will be on September 27th. If you'd like information on how you can help share that webinar, you can contact webinars@choosework.ssa.gov. We also have some content available on our social media pages. You can go ahead and retweet or repost some of our Facebook and Twitter content to your audiences. And, of course, related to webinars, I am always looking for volunteer presenters, so go ahead and contact webinars@choosework.ssa.gov if you would like to volunteer. We are also excited to announce that we released a new success story last week about a woman named Sandy who was involved in the foster care system, then went on to work in the juvenile justice system. She was actually in a car accident and ended up using the Ticket to Work program to restart her career and kind of change her career choices. So we did share Sandy online on our success story page, and I did send an email out to all service providers last night about Sandy's story, and that provided you some information about how you can share Sandy's story. In that Gov delivery message, there was sample email text. There were also some social media posts, And we would encourage you to share those stories along with all the rest of our stories. And I know based on our numbers from today that a lot of you did take a look at that story, so thank you for doing that. And do continue to share and promote. Sandy is a great way to tell the story about how the program can work for folks. And finally, if you do have any success story leads or would like to be a guest blogger, again, there is a small typo with this email, but it should be stories@choosework.ssa.gov. So just drop that choosework from the front of this email address. We're always looking for success story leads, so if you'd like to share one, please let us know. And again, we're also always looking for guest bloggers. We can work with you on a topic that you'd like to write about. We're looking for ideas and writers all the time, so just go ahead and contact that email address again, stories@choosework.ssa.gov. And with that, I will turn it over to Adele for questions.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Again, thank you, everyone, for participating today. What we'll do now, Kevin, is we'll open up the lines for questions in general about today's call.
All right, thank you once again. Press star one for questions. We'll take our next question at this time.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is about the CPA, and it's mostly about getting the suitability people together and getting all of that done. Can I submit my signature page without having all of my people already cleared?
Hi, this is Renee Clark. You may submit the signature page of the CPA to EN Service without having all of your personnel receive suitability.
Okay.
We would like you to seek suitability as soon as possible. You do not have
right.
to wait till you submit the CPA signature page to do that.
Okay,
I don't have
good.
It in front of me, but if you need, if you have questions about suitability, there is a phone number in the FAQ on the Your Ticket to Work website.
Okay, so I'm good with that. The next question I have is regarding the same situation, and it's about the go ahead and submitting. One of the forms I think that you request is form 85 or 85P.
I'm sorry, I don't
right?
have the CPA in front of me. Can you describe the form, please? What is it requesting?
Hold on a second. If you just bear with me. All right.
Is it about suitability or is it the CPA?
Yes, suitability, yes. Yes, it's all about suitability. And
if you have questions.
Yeah?
Go ahead. You can, if there are questions about suitability, that is actually a different department. Like I said, I don't have the phone number in front of me, but it is on the FAQ site. On the FAQ document.
Yeah, I've tried to get in touch with them several times regarding this. I haven't heard back. And that's why I'm asking.
Okay, can you email EN Service?
I sent it to EN Service, and I sent it to the TPA people. I don't know. There was some people that we had gotten a request from. Oh, I know. I sent it to the suitability people, asking them about the requirements for one of the forms that they're asking for. All I want to know is, does form number 85 need to be complete and sent in with the packet? Some of the requests that I get have that you have to do it, and some of the requests don't show it. So I'm confused. And when I go to Google Form 85, there is no such thing. There's Form 86 and 86P. I'm assuming that's correct, but you don't know,
okay.
Do you?
I think I would have to see it. You can email me directly. My email address is Renee, R-E-N-E-E, .Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, at ssa.gov.
Okay, so Renee with two E's, Clark with an E, at ssa.gov. Okay, and I'm going to give you all my questions.
I also want to let you know I will be out of the office next week on site visits, but if I get the email soon, I can send it to a colleague.
I'll send it to you today. And the other question that I had is, how about all of the reasons for I work from home, so I'm very conscious right now of protecting everything, my computer and my files and all of those things. And so I have a plan. I'm going to submit it to, I guess, EN Services. Is that correct?
Yes, you may. It's EN Service, singular, not plural, at SSA.
Okay. Okay, good. And then they would be able to answer me. I'm going to go back to that form 85 or 86, whatever, which one it is. One of the people that will be required would be, that's important for to get suitability is my husband, and he's 80 years old, okay? This form is asking for history that goes back 65 years. I mean, do we have to go back and fill it out that complete?
When you email me, I'll answer that question directly.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I'm good.
We'll take our next question.
Oh, I didn't realize I still was on the queue. I just responded in the thing as well. But Form 85, I think it's those same questions that are asked in the EQIP. We did not send it in for the numerous ones we placed.
All right, thank you. Did you have any further questions?
No, I was just responding
to that.
All
right, thank you. All right, thank you. We'll go to our next question. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Lorraine, and I had an issue with downloading the Blackboard Collaborate thing, but I have it now, but it won't allow me to connect to the session. Is there a way for me to get the PowerPoint you keep referring to?
Hi, Lorraine. This is Adele. Is it the presentation that we facilitated today?
Mm-hmm.
We will be posting the materials on the website.
On
our website, to get to work.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And once again, press star one if you'd like to ask a question. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We'll take our next question.
Glenn Roach, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question about the TPA as well. We're an employment network who currently has a blanket purchase agreement, and we're trying to do the switchover, make sure that we fill out the TPA correctly. So my understanding is that what we really need to do is to sign and date the agreement on page 4 and then to update the EN information sheet. So do we have to send in our business plan again and do all that kind of stuff, or is the plan that we submitted under the blanket purchase agreement sufficient?
Hi, this is Renee Clark. As long as your business plan has not changed, you do not need to resubmit that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, star one for questions.
Hi, Kevin. This is Adele. There is a question from the chat while we wait for that. Can you tell us when we should expect to get a signed TPA back from Social Security after submitting the updated contract?
Hi, Adele. It's Renee. That may take a little bit longer. I do not have an estimate yet, but as long as you submit it before the September 1st deadline, your TPA will be in effect.
Thank you.
And there are no questions over the phone at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. At this time, I'll hand it over to Carol for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you so much. Great call, everybody. Great questions. Just to remind you that you have any number of resources available to you. You have your EN specialist, you have the EN service team, that's the Maximus team. You have managers, myself, Renee, Kara, Gary, we're all available to you. So please do not ever hesitate to come to us with whatever concerns or questions you may have. And again, we are so grateful to you all for your support and for the fine work you do on behalf of our beneficiaries. And with that,
Operator, thank you very much for your assistance, and thank you, Mel, and the entire team, and the Maximus team, and I'm ready to close the call. Right. Melanie, did I forget anything? Would you like to add anything?
No, Carol, I think you covered everything. For all of the people who may have had POD questions and they were not answered, as Adele mentioned earlier, we will get those back to you after we have a chance to go through them. So thank you for your patience on that.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mel. I'm glad you mentioned it. I want to thank our colleagues for their excellent presentation on the POD. It's very exciting, and we hope we're going to be able to assist them with sending a number of beneficiaries their way. Thanks so much to Deb and John, and thank you, Renee, for handling all those questions. If I missed anybody, a big thank you to all of you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.